welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of comedy. Later on, it's Abbott and Costello from 1945, but first, it's The Alan Young Show, an ABC network broadcast from the 4th of December, 1945, called The Winter Lodge.
It's Alan Young, very deep in trouble. And as usual, we gotta dig him out. Listen to that young man who tries to be helpful and always needs help himself, Alan Young.
Well, David, here are all the danger thin ice signs. How did the man say I should put them up, kid?
Well, you take them down to the lake.
Yeah.
You skate out on the ice.
Yeah.
And wherever the ice starts to crack, you put up a danger sign.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Only a nitwit would take a job like that.
When do you start?
Tomorrow.
Well, that gives you some idea of what happens in tonight's story, which you'll hear in just a moment. Peter Van Steven plays a new arrangement of an old favorite, Adele. Well, it's the first really cold day of winter, and in the streets, people are walking hunched against the icy blast. But not our friend Alan, who was brought up in a country where 10 below was considered a heat wave. Let's follow him now as he walks blithely down the icy street, whistling a merry tune. Now he turns jauntily into Minnie's meatball palette. Turning to Minnie with his usual warm greeting, Alan opens his mouth and says...
Hey, Blue Eyes, if you pardon the expression, you left your motor running.
Yeah. It's not so cold, but I better take off my overcoat while I'm inside.
Here, I'll hang it up for you.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh, wait, you might as well take my Mackinaw, too. Now my windbreaker. Now these sweaters. Now my shirt. Now my top coat.
You want to take off that next overcoat, too?
No, I don't think I will. My hot water bottles will drop out. Anyway, it's so frigid in here.
Frigid, smidget, who cares? I'm only keeping this joint open till my husband gets out of the Navy.
Uh-huh.
It won't be long now.
Oh, did you hear from your husband again?
Sure. I just got this letter from my sailor man this morning.
Huh?
Yeah. Dear wifey, here I am on the island of Guam.
Guam.
Wifey, dear, it's been 27 years since I saw you last. And you know, I'm beginning to miss you a little. So I am sending you a souvenir from the Pacific. It's a grass skirt. She should arrive any day. One thing I don't like here is the weather. The tropic sun shines all day and the warm breeze.
No, stop it. Stop. I can't stand it, Minnie. It's so cold in here. Why don't you call the janitor?
Oh, he couldn't hear me anyway. He's in the refrigerator trying to get warm.
Gee, I'm freezing it. Yeah, look at my hands. My hands, they're turning blue. Oh, I forgot to take off my mittens.
Well, maybe you better leave the mittens on. Your gloves will get cold.
Yeah. No, Lisa, I can't get warm in here. I better go back to my sign shop. My girlfriend Betty's watching it for me. I don't want to keep her waiting there too long.
Uh-oh, you must have stayed away too long already. Here she comes now looking for you.
Yeah?
Oh, Alan, I ran all the way over.
Betty, you forgot your coat.
I did not. You're wearing it.
Oh, well, I thought you'd wait till I got back.
Alan, I just had to rush over here. I've got such wonderful news. Mm-hmm. Someone just called up to give you a big order.
Oh, that's great.
They want you to paint signs for an exclusive hotel at Lake Placid.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And you'd better dress warm because it's 30 below up there.
Oh! Oh!
And they'll expect you to stay out in the open 10 hours a day.
Oh! Betty, I don't think I can take that job.
Why not?
Well, I could give you at least 50 good reasons.
Yeah, and they're all below zero.
Alan Young, this is your chance to get a good start in life, and you're not taking
it. Betty, outdoors at 30 below.
Alan, where's your courage, your determination, your ambition? Those are your biggest assets.
If I go up there, I'm liable to freeze my assets.
Young, if you haven't enough gumption to make a success of your business, how can we ever become man and wife?
We'll get married.
We'll never get married as long as that's your attitude. Alan Young, you're just a...
Oh, gosh, Betty, don't cry.
I can't help.
Oh, please, Betty, here. I got my handkerchief. Let me wipe the icicles from your eyes.
You get away from me, Alan Young. I never want to see you again. Goodbye.
Betty, come back. Come back. Oh, Betty, you did come back.
Yes, I want my coat.
All right. Which one is yours?
The one with the fur collar.
You have to be more specific. I got two of those on.
It's this one right here. Goodbye.
Gee, 30 below. How could you expect me to go up to Lake Placid in that freezing weather?
Hey, wait a minute, kid. Maybe it ain't so cold in Lake Placid. Let's look at the weather report.
That's an idea. Here's the newspaper, Minnie.
Now, let's see. Weather. Oh, gee, kid, you're in luck. Listen to this. Up in New York State, fair and warmer with rapidly rising temperatures. Doctors report 4 cases of heat prostration.
That's all I want to hear. Goodbye, Minnie.
Then you're going to go to Lake Placid, Bullard?
Of course. Who's afraid of the cold? Remember, I come from Canada. I was known as the Grizzly Bear Young, the wild man of the Northwest. You sure it said warm?
Oh, sure.
Sure. Minnie, I'm going right over to Betty's house and tell her I changed my mind.
Attaboy, Blue Eyes.
So long, Minnie.
So long. Gee, he's a nice kid. I'm glad it's going to be warm up at Lake Placid. Well, let's see what else is in the papers. Dodgers lose 12 straight baseball. Hey, wait a minute. This ain't today's paper. This is last July's. No wonder those fish wasn't fresh. Where's today's paper? Oh, here's today's paper. Here it is. Weather report up in New York State. Storm warning. Violent blizzard. Mercurochrome dropping. Temperature 50 below. Oh, gee, I better go out after that kid. Uh-oh, I can't go out. He borrowed my coat, too.
While Alan makes his way to Betty's house, let's listen to the four chicks and chucks sing in one ear and out the other.
A boy and girl together, the lights are kind of low. As they exchange affection, the line begins to flow. First she tries to tell him his charm she can't resist. first time she's been kissed. It goes in one ear and out the other. Round the room, across the floor. Little echoes get together. And they all go bouncing out the door.
Gee, my mother worries. I must be home by 10.
Get her!
I know someone's waiting, and she'll go right out again.
It goes in one ear and out the other. Round the room, across the floor. Little echoes get together. Did you like the story, and were you on the go?
If you didn't like it, then I just want you to know.
It goes in one ear and out the other. Round the room, across the floor. Little echoes get together. And they all go bouncing out the door. All go bouncing, bouncing at the door.
Hello, Betty. I expected you home earlier.
Hello, Daddy.
Betty, have you been crying?
No, Daddy.
You have been crying, Betty. Is it a man, or is it that Alan Young again?
Daddy, Alan's been such a disappointment to me. I'm never going to speak to him again.
Good girl. And I'm going to hold you to that promise.
That sounds like Alan's knock. Maybe it would be easier for me, Daddy, if you just didn't let him into the house.
Betty, don't deprive your dad of a little pleasure. If I don't let him in, how can I kick him out?
But, Daddy, I don't want to talk to him.
You don't have to. Just follow my example. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Dittenpepper. Hello, Betty. Hello, Mr. Dittenpepper. Hello, Betty. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, hello. See, they hung up on me. Mr. Dittenpepper, do you think we'll have more snow? Betty, do you think we'll have more snow?
Father, will you tell Alan Young that I'm going up to my room and I never want to see him again?
Alan Young, my daughter says that she's going up to her room.
You left out that she never wants to see me again.
And she never wants to see you again.
Did she say that?
Yes. And if she hadn't wasted all her time on you, by now she could have been engaged to Hubert Updike, the richest bachelor in town.
Betty and I are going to get married. She's going to be the mother of my children.
I have Hubert Updike in mind.
I still think Betty'd make a better mother. Mr. Dittenpepper, do you want me to go away and never come back again?
Exactly. So far as I am concerned, you are a perfect idiot. A perfect idiot.
Oh, none of us are perfect. Betty, do you want me to go away and never come back again? Gee, Betty walked out on me without a word.
Well, Hubert Updike should be getting here any minute.
All she said was, "Boo." I don't know what it means.
Now, Hubert's the type of boy Betty should marry.
Of course, it could mean I love you.
Hubert's a boy with money, a future.
In Mexico, it could mean have a Coke.
Quiet. That sounded like Hubert's car pulling up to the door. Now, when he comes in, I don't want to hear a peep out of you.
Hi-ho, everybody. I'm here. Come drink the stardust from my eyes.
Hello, Hubert, my boy. Is it cold enough for you?
Oh, Papa Dittenpepper, I love this winter weather. I've been out all day with nothing on but a sleeveless sweater.
Well,
Gosh, just the thought of it gives me goose pimples.
Oh, Alan, you're mocking me.
Ignore him, Hubert. Let's not talk to him.
Oh, Papa, what a heavenly suggestion.
Hubert, my boy, I haven't seen you in a few days. I suppose you've been busy?
Frightfully, Papa.
Down at the plant?
Oh, yes, we've been reconverting.
I've been reconverting. Changed to winter underwear.
Business good, Hubert?
Excellent. We just sewed up a big deal for the winter.
I sewed up mine for the winter, too.
That's enough from you, Alan Young. I want to talk to Hubert alone. Get out of my house.
But, Mr. Dittenhover, it's cold out there. I'll freeze.
Get out of my house.
Oh, don't put him out yet, Papa.
No?
No, let's throw water on him first.
All right, I'll go. I got a big job to do anyway. Goodbye, Mr. Dittenhover. Goodbye, Hubert. Goodbye, Alan. Goodbye. Go on.
Good riddance.
Mr. Dittenhover, can I borrow your coat?
Get out!
Papa, forget Alan. I came here to invite you up to my winter lodge for a weekend of skiing, skating, and tobogganing.
Oh, that's wonderful, Hubert, and it gives me an idea. When we go up to your lodge tomorrow, we'll take Betty along with us. And when Betty sees what a stalwart outdoor man you are, she'll be sure to fall in love with you. And if Betty doesn't marry you, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
What if she marries Alan?
I'll be a jackass's father-in-law.
Oh, Papa, that was a witty one.
Come on, Hubert, let's go tell Betty our plans. Oh, by the way, where is your lot?
Up at Lake Placid.
Lake Placid? Good. That's one place Alan Young will never show his face.
Let's see, gotta get everything ready for my trip to Lake Placid. Tennis shoes, beach umbrella, polo shirt. For all the paper said it'd be very warm up there. I better bring suntan oil along, too, just in case. Then I should... Oh, David, didn't hear you come in. Hi, kid.
Hi, Mr. Young. What are you doing?
Well, I'm packing for a business trip to Lake Placid. Hand me that tennis racket, will you?
A tennis racket at Lake Placid? Are you kidding?
Well, it's hot up there.
This is going to be a big blow to my geography teacher.
I don't care. I'm going up there to paint a few signs.
Gee, can I go with you?
Well, I take you, David, but I... don't you think your family would miss you?
Nah, they're not even home. Pop and my sister Betty went away somewhere with that Hubert Updike.
Well, they did, huh? Okay, David. Let them stay down here and freeze. You come with me, we'll bask in the sun at Lake Placid. I gotta finish packing now. Help me check the food, will you, kid? Well, I'm going to be away for a whole day. Now, let's see. 6 loaves of bread. Stack of flour. In case I run out of bread. 4 cans of Spam. 2 T-bone steaks. In case I run out of Spam. Sack of potatoes. David, it's cold up here at Lake Placid.
You said it, Mr. Young.
Yeah. I'll never believe another weather report as long as I live. David, I guess you were a lot smarter than me. You had sense enough to bring your overcoat.
Yeah. Say, when is it my turn to win?
Don't rush, kid. It's mine for another 20 minutes. You want a second cup of coffee?
Not me. Why does that coffee taste so funny?
It's the antifreeze I had to put in it.
Hey, Mr. Young, cold is just a state of mind.
Hmm?
All you gotta do is keep telling yourself you're warm.
Tell myself I'm warm. Oh, all right, I'll try it. Young, you're warm. You're warm, Young. Young, you're warm. You're warm, you're warm. Young, you're crazy.
Say, Mr. Young, how much more work have we gotta do?
Thank goodness, I just got one more sign to put up. This one, danger, thin ice.
Well, how are you going to do it?
Very simple. I just skate out there and put it up.
But, Mr. Young...
Now, David, Mr. Young knows what he's doing. Mr. Young is a good skater, you bet you.
But you...
Please, David. I've done this thing hundreds of times before. You just stay here and watch the food. Here I go. Let's see. It should be just around here. David, the ice is cracking.
What, Mr. Young? Put up your sign.
Yep. Well, David, I think it is. Ice. Oh! Help! Help, David, I fell in.
I'm coming.
Help! Help!
Mr. Young, you're going down. Take off that heavy coat.
Don't rush me. I still got another 15 minutes to wear it.
All right, Mr. Young, but...
Hurry, David. I'm freezing.
Now, grab this stick.
Yeah. Thanks, David. David, I'm starting to freeze. Hot coffee. Force hot coffee down my throat.
Okay, I got the thermos bottle open.
Yeah, yeah. Two lumps, please, no cream. It's no use, David boy. I'm beginning to feel numb all over. I'm freezing solid.
Gee, it must be the end.
Yeah, and the rest of me, too.
Hey, look, Mr. Young. There's a cabin down there with smoke coming from it.
A cabin? David, you gotta get me there, kid. Smoke. Fire. That's what I need. I'm frozen solid. Oh, I'd give anything to be sitting in front of that fire.
Oh, Gilbert, isn't it comfortable sitting here by this blazing fire?
Yes, Betty. Aren't you glad you came up to my cabin?
I suppose so, Gilbert. It might help me forget Alan Young.
Betty, let's not talk about Alan Young. Your papa is upstairs. We're alone by this blazing fire. And Betty... Betty... Let me slip this on your finger.
Why, Hubert, it's a wedding ring.
Yes. Marry me, Betty.
Well, looks like Alan Young doesn't care. All right, Hubert, I suppose we're engaged.
Oh, Betty, congratulations. You've landed me!
Young has only himself to blame. I waited. Hello, everybody.
Mercy. Betty, it's your little brother, David.
David, what are you doing here? Don't stand there. Come in and leave that block of ice outside. That's Alan Young. Alan. Oh, he's frozen solid. Bring him inside. Poor Alan, what happened to him, David?
He fell into the lake.
Oh, my goodness, how'd you ever get him here?
It was downhill, so I belly-whopped him all the way.
The fire. Betty, slide me over to the fire.
I'll do it, Betty.
Hubert, put down those ice tongs.
Well, I was only going to break him up and use him for the martinis.
Here. Let's lean him up against the fireplace. There. Oh, poor Alan, you're frozen. You threw yourself into the lake because of me.
I did. Yes, I did. The deepest part.
Alan, let me put my arms around you. Let me kiss your poor frozen lips. There.
David, don't just stand there. Put a pan under me.
Alan, what you need is some good hot food.
Did I hear somebody say food? I'm hungry enough to eat.
Alan Young!
What are you doing here?
Well, I just dropped in by way of the lake.
Hubert, why don't you go into the kitchen and get Alan some food?
Food? Oh, heavens to gimbals. I knew there was something I forgot.
You mean there's no food in this cabin? I'm starved.
Oh, I'm hungry, too.
Oh, Papa, forgive me. I simply overlooked it.
What are we going to do? This storm could last for days. We'll starve to death.
Wait a minute. I left a big pile of food out in the lake.
I'll go get it.
It's right on the edge of the thin ice.
Hubert, you go get it.
I have a better idea, Papa. I'll put in a call and see if the Stork Club delivers.
Hubert, don't tell me you're afraid to go out. Don't tell me you're a coward. Don't tell me you've got a yellow streak down your back.
I won't, but Papa, how did you find out?
Hubert Updike, I'm ashamed of you. Our engagement is off.
Oh, don't waste your time with Hubert. I'll go out, Betty. I'll brave those wintry blasts again. I'll fight my way through the raging storm. I'll battle the elements and cross the dangerous ice and snatch that precious food from the teeth of the biting storm.
Go to it, my boy.
Yeah. Betty, aren't you going to try to stop me?
Oh, no, Alan. I've never admired you as much as I do now. You and your big, strong shoulders. You and your big, brave heart.
Me and my big, fat mouth. All right, Betty, I'll go. Farewell.
Good luck, Alan.
Thanks, Betty. I'm not afraid. I shall brave the icy blast, and nothing can stop me. That stopped me. Well, I'll try again. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Take care, my boy. Goodbye. Take care.
That takes care of the dishes. Oh, it was a wonderful meal, Alan.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of you for what you've done.
Oh, it was nothing, Betty?
Nothing? When you went out into that freezing storm and brought back that food, you saved all our lives.
Oh, Betty, cold never bothers me.
I'm very grateful, Alan. And I have a little reward for you.
You have?
Yes. Come close.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is ask me for it, Alan. Go ahead and ask me.
Okay, I'll ask you. Betty, will you lend me your coat? I'm free!
The Alan Young Show, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 4th, 1945 on ABC. And although that was ABC's top comedy program of 1945, drawing around 5 million listeners a week, it was pretty much crushed by other networks and now legends like Burns and Allen, Bob Hope, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Jack Benny, and Fred Allen, whose audiences numbered in the tens of millions. ABC would have more success with the programs they bought from syndication, like The Green Hornet and The Lone Ranger. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for a good-sounding broadcast of the Abbott and Costello Show, heard on NBC on April 5th, 1945.
The Abbott and Costello Program. Listen to the great rhythms of Will Osborne and his orchestra, the swingy singing of Connie Hayes, and that sawed-off, stubby, overstuffed little statesman who proudly said,
"Hee-ya-da!"
Hey, Costello, calm yourself. Why are you so excited?
Hey, Abbott. I think the war is over.
Oh, that's silly. What makes you think the war is over?
I just heard the lady next door talking back to her maid.
Oh. Well, never luck. Never mind that. Yes, look. Never mind that, Lou. Look, you know we've got to drive out to the 8 to the Bar Ranch to see the Andrews sisters. Now, did you borrow Ken Niles' car?
Oh, yeah, I borrowed it just like you told me.
Well, that's swell.
But I had a terrible accident, Abbott.
What do you mean?
I upset it. I gotta turn it over right away, or Ken Niles' wife won't like it.
Well, we can do that when we come back from the Andrews sisters' ranch.
No, I gotta turn the car over now, or Mrs. Niles is gonna be mad.
I'll explain it to Mrs. Niles. Where is she?
She's under the car.
She's under the car? Is she in a coma?
No, she's wearing her evening gown.
Oh. Well, then let's get Ken Niles to help us lift the car.
Oh, Ken is in a good spot to help us.
Fine. Where is he?
He's under the car, too.
For goodness sakes, how did this accident happen?
I bumped into another car, Abbott. Boy, that driver was mad at me. He said for 2 cents I'd punch in the nose.
And what happened?
He ran up a bill of $8.
You were silly to argue with the driver. Why didn't you call a policeman?
I didn't have to. I hit one.
Hey, you hit a policeman?
I hit a policeman.
You hit a policeman in uniform?
Nope, I hit him in the nose.
Oh, this is liable to spoil our whole trip to the Andrews sisters' ranch. Did the cop recognize you?
Yep.
Could he swear to you?
Yep. and I squared right back at him. I said, oh, you David Copperfield, you tale of two cities, you Oliver Twist.
What did you say that for?
I was giving him the Dickens.
This is a fine thing. Now I have to straighten you out with that policeman. Where is he?
He's under the car, too.
What are they all doing under the car?
Have you looked for an apartment lately?
Oh, here comes Mr. and Mrs. Niles. Better be to Costello.
No, you don't. You fat-headed, flabby, car-flipping fool. Do you realize you left me out there under the car holding up my rumble seat? Don't stand there like an idiot. What have you got to say?
Good morning, Mrs. Niles.
Don't good morning me.
Good night, Mrs. Niles. That day went fast, didn't it?
Costello, why did you leave Mrs. Niles under the back seat of her car?
Well, isn't that where they always keep the crank?
Look, Kenneth.
You had it coming, Mrs. Niles.
Now, be nice,
Kenneth,
Lou.
Kenneth, say something.
All right. Just a minute now, you worm.
That's
don't
enough.
You...
All right. Please.
Go ahead. Bowl me out, kid.
All right.
You're supposed to.
Don't you try to wiggle out of this. What about me? Look at my suit. I'm a mess.
Niles, without looking at your suit, you're a mess.
But look at the spots all over my suit.
Well, throw away the suit and wear the spots.
Oh, Costello, I've had enough. We're going out to get the policeman and sue you for damages.
Damages? But, Mrs. Niles, did you get hurt?
Did I get hurt? I have a big scratch on my crazy bone.
Put your hat on and nobody will notice it.
Oh, come, Kenneth.
Hey, come on, Abbott, think fast. I gotta get out of here before they come back with the cops.
Oh, you can cause more trouble. We were going to the 8th of the Bar Ranch to ask the Andrews sisters to appear on our show, and you wrecked the car we were going to use. Well, now we'll have to rent a car.
Well, let's get another car.
We'll have to.
Well, where can we get one?
Matt, you drive.
Me drive?
No, you drive.
I said I drive.
You don't drive it. I drive it.
Drive what?
You drive.
Why should I drive when you want to drive?
I'm going to drive. Look, Costello, I'm renting a you drive, and I drive it.
Oh, then we both drive it.
No, we do nothing of the kind. I drive. When I say you drive, I don't mean you drive. I mean that I drive, although it's a you drive.
When you say you drive, you don't mean me drive?
No.
You mean you drive because I don't drive?
Now you've got it.
Now I don't even know what I'm talking about. Now look, Abbott, you go to a place, and you're going to rent a car.
Yes.
You are driving the car?
Yes.
Where am I sitting?
You are sitting right next to me.
Is there a steering wheel in front of me?
No.
And you're positive that I am not driving?
I'm positive.
And you are driving the car?
Yes.
All right. What kind of a car are you driving?
You drive.
Somebody better be driving.
No. Look, please. I'm trying to explain this. We go and rent a car.
Right. Now, where are we going to get it?
You drive company.
Now I drive company. I thought we were going alone.
You don't understand. It hurts, you drive.
Well, if it hurts, you drive.
That is right.
That's right. This is getting worse.
Don't you see? The head of the company's hurts.
That's too bad. What hurts him?
Nothing hurts him. Look, every company has to have a head.
Naturally.
Now, this company's head hurts.
Oh, why don't we take an aspirin?
Listen. It hurts you drive all over the country.
Well, if it hurts to drive all over the country, why should I drive and get hurt?
You don't get hurt.
I'm not going to get hurt.
You don't get hurt, Costello.
And nobody's going to hurt for me.
That's right. You're not going to get hurt.
I'm not fool to get hurt.
You're not going to get hurt. It's the Hertz Company.
Oh, the Hertz Company. I still... Look, Abbott. Am I mixed up?
All right. It's very simple.
Look, Abbott. Thank you, boys.
All
thank
right.
You. Look, Abbott.
Now,
I don't want to hurt nobody.
Will you listen to me, please? The man's name is... Look, Lou, please. Now, look, take it easy. The man's name is Hertz. He rents cars. You drive. It's the you drive all over the country.
You drive all over the country?
Yes.
Not with that OPA, brother.
What are you talking about?
That's why I can't go. OPA.
What do you mean, OPA?
Only a puny A car.
Get out of here.
Osborne with arrangement of one of your favorites, My Dreams Are Getting Better All the Time.
two heroes, Abbott and Costello, are driving their rented car over the desert to the Andrews sisters' ranch. We find them on the road, their motor merrily hammering away as they head for the ranch. Let's listen to these hammerheads.
Well, Costello, no matter how you drive, the pedestrians always manage to get across the road somehow.
Yeah, sneaky devils, ain't they?
Yeah.
I wish I was a truck driver.
Why do you want to be a truck driver?
Oh, they run into so many interesting people.
Costello, you're a dope. Hey.
Huh?
Hey.
What's
Costello?
Wrong?
Costello, there's something wrong. What's wrong here? What's wrong with this? What's the matter with this car?
Gas.
Hello. Hello, fellas. Have an accident?
No, thanks. We just had one.
Quiet, Costello. Say, mister, could you pull us to the nearest town?
Nope, but my horse can. It's 10 miles to Palm Springs. I'll tow you there for $30. Here, just hook this rope on. Okay, here we go. Giddy up.
I think the horse is horse.
You know, Costello, that guy is a jip. Imagine charging us $30 to pull us 10 miles.
Don't worry, Abbott. I'm getting even with him.
How?
I got our brakes on.
Okay, Costello, here's the hotel. I'll ring for the clerk. Oh, clerk.
Oh, clerk.
Clerk.
Oh, clerk.
Clerk.
Oh, clerk.
Just clerk.
A moment, please. This is a very high-class hotel, and I'll have you understand I'm not a jerk.
You're not even a vibration.
Costello, will you act like a gentleman, please? Clerk, we'd like a room.
All I have left is the bridal chamber. Do you want that, Mr. Abbott?
I do.
Do you want it, Mr. Costello?
I do.
I now pronounce you room and bath. $5.
Mr. Clerk, just a minute. You don't understand. We were here on our way to the Eight of the Bar Ranch, and our car broke down. We're going to see the Andrews sisters.
Ah, yes, the Andrews sisters.
Yes.
They are so sweet. Every time I see them, I want to kiss them. My mind says no, and my heart says yes.
And what do you hear from your liver?
Well, Mr. Costello, if you'll just sign the register, I'll have the boy show you to your suite.
My what?
Your suite, your suite.
You're cute, too.
I like you.
Right.
Come on, clerk. What about our room?
All right, Mr. Costello. It's on the 10th floor. Here's the key. 1006.
Now get going.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Okay.
Come on.
All right.
Come on.
All right. I know you are. Now listen, clerk. We want to get up early. We're going to the... Hey, wait a minute. 10th floor? 10th floor? Wait a minute. You sent Costello to the 10th floor. There's only one floor in this hotel. You haven't got a 10th floor.
Good heavens,
do
man.
Something.
You're right. Oh, this is serious. Oh, Mr. Costello, there's no 10th floor. Come right down.
Costello, speak to me. Are you all right? What can I do for you?
Send a boy up for my bags. Hey, come on, Abbott, let's get out of this place. I have never been so humidity in all my life.
Humidity?
Yes, he humidity'd me.
Humidity means damp.
Well, let's get out of this damp hotel. Banana.
Yeah, look. Look, you can't check out. You just checked in.
Oh, it's the gypsy in me.
Oh, shut up. You're going right to bed. Now, we've got to see the Andrews sisters in the morning. Oh, here's our room. Come on. Oh, I wonder who that can be. Nobody knows we're in town.
I'll take it.
Go ahead.
Hello, yes, this is Lou Costello. No, I'm sorry. I'd like to, but I just can't. No, I won't tell you.
Who was that?
Bulova. They wanted to know what time it was.
you're crazy. Now, go get to bed. Come on, hurry up.
Okay.
Now, we've got to get up early. You understand?
Right. Yeah.
To get to the ranch. What's this?
Pardon me, boys. I'm the chambermaid. I heard you two clowns had checked in, and I thought you might like to hear a funny story.
How about it, Abbott? This chambermaid might have something. We could use a good joke. We haven't had one on 3 pages.
All right, go ahead.
Well, did you ever hear the story about the double bed?
Nope.
I just made it.
Oh, this kid is going to lay an egg.
Oh, how dare you? I've never been so humiliated in my life.
Now, you see, Abbott, she said the same thing, humidity. She thinks it's a damp hotel, too.
Oh, dampness has nothing to do with it. She said humiliate, conjugated from the Latin, humilius, humilia, humilium. I humiliate, she humiliates, they humiliate. Now, do you understand?
Yes, sir. Everybody in the joint is damp.
No.
Say, miss, if you're so smart, maybe you could tell me something. Our car broke down, and we got to get to the Andrews sister's ranch. Now, how can we get there?
On a jackass. Did you ever ride a jackass?
No.
Then you better get on to yourself.
How do you like that? That's a very funny joke. If you ask me, and I'll ask me. I think it's a funny joke. I think I'll try that one on Abbott. Hey, Abbott!
Yes?
Did you ever ride a jackass?
No.
Then hop on my back.
Okay.
Hop on my back.
Okay.
Connie Haynes sings one of the most popular songs of the day, I'm Beginning to See the Light.
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow, a candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadowboxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark. That's a ball on fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. Used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark. That's a ball on fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning. Yes, I'm beginning to see.
Come on, Costello. Costello, come here.
I'm coming in.
Yes. We've got to check out of this hotel and find the Andrews sisters' ranch.
Gee, Abbott, I hate to leave this lovely hotel room.
I know.
But I can't get it into my suitcase.
What do you mean?
My suitcase is full of towels.
Costello, I'm surprised at you, stealing towel from a hotel. What could be smaller?
Wash rags?
No! Come in.
Ah, pardon this unwarranted intrusion, gentlemen, but I'm looking for Abbott and Costello.
Oh, that's Abbott over there, and I'm Costello.
You? No, it couldn't be.
Yeah.
I'm sure, sir, I'm sure that Lou Costello does not look like a sawed-off, pot-bellied, imbecilic, flea-bitten bum.
Oh, yeah? You want to bet?
Say, neighbor.
What did I say?
Just a minute, neighbor. Who are you, anyway?
Oh, pardon me. My name is Melonhead. I'm sorry.
Well, with that head, you should be sorry. Put your hat on, please. It's blinding me, the head. Thank you. Look at that scalp, Abbott. His forehead goes all the way back to Santa Monica.
Nah. Just a minute, Costello. I resent your remarks. I have plenty of hair.
I mean on your head and foot in your shirt.
Costello, before you insult this man anymore, please, before you insult him, let's find out what he wants.
Go ahead. Find out what he wants.
Well, go ahead.
All right, Melonhead. Tell us what you want so I can insult you again.
Gentlemen, I'm a theatrical agent specializing in television. Here's my card.
Hey, there's nothing on the card.
Well, television isn't here yet. Now, let's get down to business, Costello. Let's get down to business. I understand you boys are here to engage the Andrews sisters to appear on your radio show.
That's right. That's right.
Now, Mr. Costello, if I could save you a lot of money, look, if you found $14,987.50 in your pocket, what would you think?
I'd think I'd had on somebody else's pants.
Oh, no. Now, gentlemen, my proposition is very simple. The Andrews sisters would cost you $15,000, but I happen to represent the original Andrews brothers.
The Andrews brothers? Who are they?
A great act. And the Andrews brothers. The Andrews brothers will only cost you $12.50. Do you know what that means?
Yes, that means they must be lousy.
Will you shut up, Costello? Mr. Melonhead, how can you afford to sell the Andrews brothers so cheap?
Oh, I was caught by the price ceiling. You see, think of it, boys. The three Andrews brothers for $12, and that's less than $5 a brother. Where can you buy brothers cheaper than that?
I can buy the Smith brothers for a nickel.
All right, Costello. Stop.
And they got more hair as a beard than you got on your head.
Yeah, all right. Will you stop quibbling with Mr. Melonhead?
Well, I mean, he quibbled on me first.
Well, so what?
I mean, after all, I don't go around quibbling on anybody unless they quibble on me first.
All right, well, forget about it.
I got a good mind to let him have it some more. I'll quibble him with both barrels.
Now, never mind the quibbling.
I guarantee I can quibble further than he can.
All right, we don't want no more quibbling.
Quiet. We might as well stop right here. We ain't getting no place
with it. Mr. Melonhead.
Yeah?
When can we hear the Andrews brothers?
When? You can hear them right now. All right. Come in, boys, and sing for Abbott and Costello. Hit it.
We are the Andrews brothers, and we are known as sisters.
Yoo-hoo!
Could make much more money if we were only sisters.
Well, Costello, what do you think of the three Andrews brothers?
Well, they could be worse.
How could they be worse?
There could be four of them.
Now, wait a minute, Costello. Let's not pass judgment until we hear the boys sing something else. Do you boys know Apple Blossom Time?
Do they? Of course they. Boys, go ahead, hit it. Sing the medley.
I'll be with you in apple blossom time.
Sounds more like apple cider time.
I'll be with you and change your name to mine.
They'll have to change more than their names if they want to get on this program.
Hit it, boy!
I wondered what happened to that guy. I mean, that's not funny.
That
guy not only rolled out the barrel, he emptied it.
All right. Well, Abbott and Costello, didn't I tell you the Andrews brothers were out of this world?
They ain't out far enough.
Oh. Now, let's not quibble, Costello. Look, where can you find a better bargain than these three wonderful singers? Think of it. Three brothers for $12.50. Now, why, that you cost that much for three goats.
Yeah, but look at the difference. Nothing doing, Melonhead. Your prices are too high.
Too high, Costello? Before I'll sell the Andrews brothers for less than $12.50, I'll drown myself.
Okay, you asked for it.
Put that seltzer bottle down.
Hey!
Some like to live for the moment, some like to just reminisce. But whenever I have an evening to spend, just give me one like this. This is a lovely way.
Abbott and Costello on Tuned to Yesterday from NBC, heard on April 5th, 1945. Wrapping up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.